We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
Mr. Trump has magic about him.
This is the greatest country in the world, but we do have some really stupid people.
How can I describe our leaders better than the word stupid?
This guy has magic coming out his ears.
This is the most unethical sham.
So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Now, Mark Reardon.
I've never known a guy more talented at untangling politics so that anyone can understand.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
It is with great honor and an incredible pleasure for me to announce that St. Louis will be the 28th team in Major League Soccer. Congratulations.
1 year ago, we were not even on the radar screen for MLS. The support in this city from all of its citizens and businesses has been fabulous.
Our goal was the same from day one. Bring MLS to America's first soccer capital.
The game of soccer brings people together in such a unique way. It is going to do just incredible things for St. Louis and downtown St. Louis.
And be part of our region's renaissance.
It's something more than just soccer. It's about something that's transformational for downtown St. Louis.
Great things are happening here in St. Louis.
There's already been $8 billion committed to downtown.
Our fans and our corporate community stepped up, and MLS heard what was happening in St. Louis loud and clear.
We want to turn Downtown West into another great destination.
This city is on the verge of something huge.
The vision of a better downtown St. Louis.
There's still a lot of work to be done, but we're all rolling up our sleeves and we're getting it done.
And today, the opportunity to bring Major League Soccer to the Major League Soccer City becomes a reality.
We have the stadium plan, we have the ownership group, and more importantly, we have the fan support. This city demonstrated the support and spirit that makes St. Louis unique.
For the region, for the city, for the fans.
We are in the game to get the game.
We wanted MLS for the Lou. And we got it.
I'll tell you what, man, that was a pretty cool video when they made that announcement a couple hours ago. We aired it here on KMOX, and some of the TV stations were airing it as well. So I looked up and saw the video, and they did a great job with that. And congratulations to this ownership group and really to the city of St. Louis and our entire region, because I think this is a win. And I've said this many, many times before. Soccer is not something that gets me all fired up because I'm just not a big fan of the sport. Really don't have anything. You know, when I say don't have anything against it, I kind of did, because for the last couple of decades, I've really taken the position that soccer is ruining America because it's keeping kids from playing football. That was sort of the joke. That joke doesn't play as well here in the soccer capital of the Midwest and certainly the country. But, and I've said this many times too, that I'm excited because I think that this region, our city, needed a win. And thanks to Dan McLaughlin for putting his passion behind it, this ownership group, and really everyone who came together. And thank God it wasn't just another kick in the gut. So I was not at the announcement. Our own Tom Ackerman was there and was able to grab a couple of people, including Andy Taylor from Enterprise.
Here with Andy Taylor, you are now an MLS owner.
Yes, sir. And like Carolyn said up on the stage, it's kind of hard to believe after this short, in terms of time, but very hard road to get here. And we so appreciate the support from the fans and the sponsors here in town.
How proud are you of everybody involved? First and foremost, the people that spent so much time from the very beginning to make this happen.
We are just grateful for the fact that we had people in front of us that did this before, a couple years ago, that helped us. And we have had, this has been a great thing for my family. It's drawn our family closer together, if you really want to know the truth. And they are behind it 110%.
You have a terrific family, and you have so many people involved. You also have the first majority female-owned team in league history. What does that mean to you?
Well, that means, first of all, that I'm the youngest male in the family, which is the truth. I'm surrounded. But that's a very, very good thing. And they are very excited. Carolyn, Chrissy are great businesswomen. And, you know, the others are going to contribute. It's going to be really fun to watch this.
You've made a significant commitment here. You've made a significant investment. Why do you believe so much in the city of St. Louis?
My father started his business here 62 years ago. The city of St. Louis embraced him. This is a place to grow the business. We have so much history here, and we are privileged to have a large company now today. What else should we be doing with some of the profits and proceeds of our business for over 62 years but to help the city be as best as it possibly can be?
Downtown West, the vision of that stadium and those fans, what do you envision? What do you see?
Oh, I think if you look what's going on at Union Station, then you're going to the soccer venue. There's some plans that the soccer venue will be a year-round, have some year-round features to it. I think that it will draw some other businesses. I'm very excited. I think it could be another great attraction for St. Louis.
The work begins now. What do we do tomorrow?
Well, as I was mentioned on the stage, we got a few more things to do cinch the property, get that tied up. We want to get started. We're drawing already, but we want to get started working on the stadium either last quarter of this year or the first quarter of next year. We want to be ready to play in 2022.
We appreciate the time very much. Thank you for it. And congratulations on a historic day in St. Louis history and in your family's history.
Well, thank you, Tom, and thanks for all that you do.
Thank you. Andy Taylor with us on KMOX. Taylor Twellman, as a fellow native St. Louisan, I was so happy for you being happy. Just seeing you up there, what was it like, first of all, stepping onto that stage today?
A little weird, a little surreal, almost as if I died and went to heaven. The Blues won the Stanley Cup, something I thought I would never see in my lifetime. And then here we are in August, literally having a conversation about St. Louis and soccer coming back to this city. It's always been in this city, but now for the number one league in the United States to bring a franchise here, it's something I'll tell my grandkids about. And I've had nephews here and some nieces here, and today was fun.
You put so much energy into this from the beginning. From the first look that they had at MLS, you wanted it here. There were so many people from the very beginning that put a lot of energy into it, didn't they? Kind of lay the framework here.
Yeah, but listen, St. Louis sells itself, especially in this sport. Now, granted, St. Louis has had a few bumps in the road regarding sports in the past, but this sport is in the fabric of the city. It's in the heart and soul of this city. So St. Louis didn't really need to sell itself as a soccer city. What it needs to sell itself, as being progressive, as being younger, as being diverse. This sport's going to help it, but the Taylor family is going to really help it with the stadium and the project they build. When was the last time we said young people in the county are going to want to go to downtown St. Louis? Guess what? They're going to want to now.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think people realize how effective that can be with young audience coming in. What have you seen around the league?
Well, that's been the most difficult part for me as a fellow St. Louisan, that grade school, high school here, and my family's still here, is that when you're seeing other cities get out of their own way and change and progress, and you still see St. Louis, for lack of a better phrase, still behind the times a little bit, that's a difficult one. Then on top of it, you see where the sport of soccer is going, and then you say, wait a minute, that's not in St. Louis. There's something wrong here. That marriage, it's all aligned for you to do it, and it needs the Taylor family. It needs the first family of St. Louis to pull that off, but they did. But when you have MLS owners behind the scenes talking as much, if not more, for me, about the city of St. Louis, that's massive. I didn't need to do that much selling.
In 2022, when they take the field, when they take the pitch, what are people going to see? What is this product? Why is it so successful? Why is it growing?
It's young. It's diverse. It's got athletes in this that are using this as a stepping stone to move on. Tyler Adams, Alfonso Davies, Miguel Amarone sold for millions and millions of dollars to top leagues in the world, top clubs in the world, because they played in this league. It's a much different league than when I played in it. There's cities, there's franchises that have moved this league, but the games are good. And the games are young, and I just can't wait to the next Josh Sargent that's 8 or 9 or 10 years old right now plays for that St. Louis hometown team. That's when I'm going to get real goosebumps and maybe even tear up, because that's what all of us thought about and dreamt about as a kid. Now these kids get to do it. This league's something else.
This has been a heck of a summer, hasn't it?
It's insane. Now if the Cardinals get their heads out of their rear ends and win the World Series, then we'll be good. Then it cements itself as the greatest summer in St. Louis history.
Let's see what happens. Thanks for the time.
No problem.
Taylor Twellman on KMOX.
Thank you, Tom Ackerman. I appreciate it. He was out there at the big announcement this morning. We're going to stick with soccer just a little bit this afternoon and chat with Bill McDermott in a couple of minutes. We have a lot more to get to this afternoon. It's Hall of Fame week on KMOX, so we all, as hosts, get to chat with a Hall of Famer, a Cardinals Hall of Famer. I got Mike Shannon coming up this afternoon at 3:20. If you miss any part of the show, of course, you can download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. You can listen live by downloading the radio.com app. We do have a roundtable set for Friday already. Jane Duker will be here, Brenda Talent from the Show Me Institute, and State Representative Steve Butts. The roundtable brought to you by the Better Business Bureau. I did spend a little bit of time yesterday on the thing that the New York Times is doing called the 619 Project, which marks the 400th anniversary of slaves and some of the other things that the New York Times is doing. There's a bunch of different perspectives on race right now. I meant to play some audio yesterday from Beto O'Rourke, who thinks that all we are in this country apparently is racist. We've always been racist. We're racist now, and I guess we're going to be racist in the future unless Beto O'Rourke does something about it. But Heather McDonald wrote a great piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning about how, and if you notice the trend here, and I think most people have, once the Russian collusion thing went down the tubes, it's all about white supremacy, right? So Heather McDonald kind of goes through the language of these Democratic presidential hopefuls and what they've said in the past couple of weeks in particular about race, trying to focus this. I guess the polling is showing that that's going to work with the voters that they need. But we'll talk about it this afternoon. I got Mike Shannon coming up and an audio cut of the day as well. Still to come here, Bill McDermott's going to join us next on KMOX.
Miss any part of the Mark Reardon Show? Download the podcast anytime.
Initiating download. Stand by.
At KMOX.com/Reardon.
I think I'm going to have a little audio of this here coming up, because even since the start of the show at 2 o'clock, the president said a few things that are newsworthy. Here's a quote. I will stick to the, now it just flipped off the CG on CNN, but I think what I got was, because I'm just looking up at the monitor, is that he is going to stick with the China trade deal, even if it means a recession. That was an interesting comment. And says because of the recession, he's looking at a payroll tax cut. So that will be interesting, somewhat controversial. We'll keep you posted on that. And I think I do have some audio from the president when he said that just a few minutes ago. So a pretty exciting day here in St. Louis as the MLS announcement becomes official. Bill McDermott is our soccer guru here at KMOX and really in the city. Bill, we've been waiting for it. It's finally here. I think everyone had this level of anticipation. And I was not at that event. I was listening and watching it. That was a pretty cool rollout this morning, wasn't it?
Very much so, Mark. And finally, this league starts in 1996, and the hue and cry from everybody, including announcers who are from St. Louis, yours truly, continuing to wear out the commissioner that St. Louis should have a team. Well, it finally happens, but it happens so, I mean, Mark, the first announcement of the Kavanaugh-Taylor families coming together to begin this quest for the MLS expansion team, that was October 9th of last year. Here we are, August 20th, less than a year to take care of such a monumental project like this. But I'm telling you, Mark, within the last 45 minutes as I left the venue, I told Carolyn, mentioned much the same to her, Carolyn Kendall-Batch. She said, well, Taylors pretty much go all in or they don't go at all. And that's exactly what happened.
Do you remember the timetable of when the initial plan had the kibosh put on it? Because there was that period of several months, if not maybe even a year more, because I don't remember the timetable, where everything sort of went quiet. And we all sort of knew, when I say we all, you know, people in the media, you knew, people knew that there were some things that were happening behind the scenes. They just weren't sure exactly what was happening.
Yeah, that vote, Mark, took place when the initial vote was not successful, I should say. That was in April of 2017. And every vendor, every consultant, anybody was remotely associated with the grouping said, you get 20,000 votes, you're going to be successful. Well, the yeses were 27,000. Unfortunately, the noes were 30,000. And that was April of 17. So in answer to your question, other possibilities were brought up to Jim Kavanaugh. But then when the mention of the two families merging, as I just spoke about a moment ago, that took place in October of last year. That's what began this process. And this process was full speed ahead ever since that initial announcement, October 9th of last year.
Yeah, look, and even though the way that this thing worked out could not have been better, in my opinion, just because I think there would have always been, if that initial plan had moved forward, people that would have been resentful, and it would have given them an opportunity to sort of pick around the edges on some of this stuff. And now you don't have that. So I think you mm-hmm. kind of start with a clean slate. And you see what these families have done for St. Louis, the level of excitement there at that event this morning with all the support. Chris Pronger was there. Ozzie Smith was there. All these people that showed up to support this effort. Dan McLaughlin's going to come up with me here in just a few minutes. But even a guy like Danny Mac played a huge role in this, Bill.
St. Louisans get St. Louis, and in particular when it comes to sports. But this grouping, these families, they're actively involved, Mark. They're personally invested. Their formal final presentation to the league was in July, and this was after the two parties, namely the MLS for the Lou Group and Don Garber, had met in New York and St. Louis. But the process that really put it over the top, Mark, the final part of the process, was at the MLS All-Star Game, July 31st in Orlando. That's when the overall league, and in particular the expansion committee, said, whoa, this group has got it together. Their project is amazing. There's a massive downtown stadium overall project. And as I mentioned, the families both are St. Louis.
So what happens from here outside of building a stadium and sort of waiting for that to come together? What are the next steps?
Yeah. Well, I think probably, Mark, I have no way of knowing this for sure, but I think one of the main things you're going to have to do with reference to the overall development and getting the team ready to play, you're going to have to get a president / general manager, maybe both, maybe it's one person with both titles, to get an overall feel for everything else so that you can begin to announce things part and parcel. Okay, the president, general manager is now on board, who has to be intimately aware and have knowledge of the sport here in our country, as well as around the United States, as well as around the world, as a matter of fact. But you have to have a feel for that and get that accomplished so that everything else can fall into place.
You got some names for me there?
Stadium, yeah. I do, but I'm not at liberty to divulge them. I'm sorry, Mark.
I'll turn you down real quick, and you just kind of whisper it in my ear. But yeah, you have to get someone that is going to take the control of the direction of what happens and marketing and all those things. So it'll be interesting to see. And I'm guessing that's going to be a position that a lot of people would have interest in from around the country.
I think so. I think so too, Mark. People around the country who are involved in this sport. It used to be a cause. Soccer used to be a cause in our country. That's no longer the case. It's a business, and it's big business. When your expansion fee has gone up from October 9th of last year to April 19th of this year, from $150 million to $200 million, cities are lining up to do this. This is big business, and you have to have somebody who's familiar with the day-to-day aspect of a big business to run something like this.
So it doesn't necessarily, that person really doesn't have to be a local person. They just have to have experience in that field, obviously knowing
Precisely.
The MLS and having experience as a general manager or president of an organization. So that it would not shock you, in other words, even though you're not giving me names, if that person comes from outside the area.
No, it doesn't, because like you said, a lot of people will be interested in that job. It is not mandatory. It is not mandatory, but on my prior theme, my prior comment, St. Louisans love St. Louis. It is not mandatory. It would certainly be preferable.
You think
is
a
that
name?
Evasive enough, Mark?
You think a name? Yeah, no, I get it. You think a name will be chosen before even that announcement, or what? What? I don't know if they said anything about this morning because I didn't hear the whole event. Is there going to be a process for that, or what do we know about the name of the franchise?
With reference to your direct question, no timetable has been set for that at all. With reference to what we had just spoken about, I think that what we had just mentioned, the president, general manager, both people, one person, him or her, doesn't make any difference. I think that will probably, emphasis on probably, Mark, be the first line of business.
Not that you have to have this, but with the female ownership group, it sort of seems appropriate to have a female general manager, doesn't it?
Certainly some were involved, and I think Carolyn and the rest of the Taylor family will certainly look at that aspect of the overall dimension. Yes, positively.
All right, Bill. Hey, great to have you on. Very
thank
exciting
you,
day. Danny Mech's coming up in a couple minutes. KMOX soccer analyst and expert Bill McDermott. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Talk to you.
Get ready for the Cards and Brewers tonight. Emerin Total Access 550. First pitch 6:45. Hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. KMOX.
Good start to that series with Milwaukee last night, and we're not going to talk baseball right now. Maybe just like 30 seconds at the end. We're going to talk about soccer. Dan McLaughlin with me this afternoon, Fox Sports Midwest, and a very passionate leader of this movement, and that has to be satisfying, Dan, to see it all come together.
I think, a historic day in our town, whether or not you like sports, and it means jobs, it means construction, it means buzz. It means progress in our town. I've said it many times. I travel for a living, as you know, Mark, doing the games and for the Cardinals in various sporting events. And, you know, the narrative that's out there is false. And quite frankly, it's not very good. So when you have things like this that come to fruition and these people put in the kind of time and effort and money that they are, it's a great day in our town. It's a wonderful day.
So I know then we had this discussion when you went before the Board of Aldermen, you gave that speech that day. I mean, that was something really that stood out. I think it certainly got the attention of elected officials and others. But what I liked about it was just the passion, and this is why I think you did it, Dan, the passion for St. Louis saying, and we know we're in this 5-year anniversary right now, not to get into other subjects, but the last 5 years in particular since Ferguson have been rough for St. Louis, and it's been gut punch after gut punch, not all related to what happened in Ferguson because the Rams left and things along those lines. But this city, I think you felt and a lot of us felt, deserved better, and this is a step in the right direction.
Well, I'm talking to you from the broadcast booth over here at Busch Stadium, and I grew up 7 minutes from home plate. So, yeah, this place means a lot to me. My mom still lives in the home that I was born and raised in the city limits. I'm living out, truly, my dream job was to do Cardinals baseball. Not many guys in this industry get the chance to do their hometown team. So having said all that stuff, personally, yeah, it meant a lot to me to try to get behind it. And I could give you a really long, long answer as to why I did. But one of the main reasons that I did, and I'll never forget it, sending a text to Jim Cavanaugh, who I, you know, shook hands with at one point and never had a sustained conversation. But my text said that I am really pissed at what's going on in our city, and I'm really pissed at what's happening with the outside perception. And quite frankly, I hate Stan Kroenke, and hate's a very strong word.
Yeah.
But I do. I don't like what's going on here. And I saw my son, and I told the story also in front of the Board of Aldermen. My oldest son, I got 4 kids, and he is not a very emotional kid. I had never seen him cry, whether even he got hurt. I hadn't seen tears in his eyes since he had been a baby. And the night that they left, he came to me and said, "Dad, I don't get this. What's going on here? Why are they leaving?" And Santa had just brought him a Todd Gurley jersey, and he loved Gurley. And one of the things that we got to do, and in my job, I don't get the chance to see them a lot in the summers, but one thing we would do would go to Rams games, and it was time with him. And that time was taken away from me. Mm. And in my opinion, that time was taken away out of greed, and there was really no reason as to why you would do this. Now, some may that are listening are saying, well, business-wise, look what he did with his business. That's all well and good, but this is my reason, is that he took time away from my family. He took time away from other kids that are growing up and idolizing these players and enjoying the experience of going to a game. And so now we fast forward to today, and to me, it's kind of like the final chapter on that. It kind of buries it. It's over. You move on. And when I saw what they were trying to do and when I learned more about the project, I couldn't believe what they were doing and the lack of taxpayer dollars in the ask. And I thought, if these people are going to do this, we need to get behind it and try to dust ourselves off and get behind it and do something positive for the city. And me being really, I'm not an owner. I have no skin in the game. I had no ownership. Stepping up and trying to be a vocal person behind it, it might get the attention of others. Why is this baseball guy that's been doing this for over two decades doing this? And that was one of the reasons that I did. And then when I learned more about the Taylor family and started to meet with Carolyn Kendall Betts and talk with her a lot and have a full understanding of what the Taylors have done in this town, it made me even more passionate to try to help them to do something. And as I told her many, many times the last 7 days, and we've talked a lot, I said, it's the least that we could do. She said to me, and I don't want to get too private on it, but she did say to me, if you hadn't stepped up, I don't know if we get the vote. I don't think we would have, maybe. And I know we wouldn't be in this position today, which meant a lot to me. And I did a lot of other things outside of going and speaking in front of the Board of Aldermen. But my point is that it was my way of saying thank you to them. They have done so much for our town, Mark, that people, if they would just dive into it, beyond writing checks, and I'm talking about helping inner city kids. I'm talking about, what they've done with the Arch Grounds and Forest Park Forever and Scott Trade Center and the Soldiers Memorial. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And they could have moved their business anywhere they wanted in the world. Same thing with Worldwide Technology. They didn't. They have a passion for soccer. And I like the sport. I don't love it. I'm a baseball guy. Yeah, right. I love baseball. And my kids love it. And I just thought, all those things, and I could dive deep into all of them, but all those things are reasons why we need to get behind this. And that's why I truly believe this is a historic day in our town.
It's interesting to me because you've had these ongoing conversations, Dan, and I guess it's in an unofficial capacity, but it sounds like you're still going to be a diplomat for this whole process, even moving forward.
I don't know. I they've asked me if I'd want to get involved in some form or fashion. And I just said, not really. No, I'm a fan. I want to get six season tickets to support the team and take my kids there and my wife. I want to support it because I think it's a good thing. But I'm a Cardinal through and through, and the Cardinals have meant so much to me in my life, and they've been so good to me, the DeWitt family. And that's the other aspect of this local ownership with all these people, and DeWitt's being with the Cardinals and Tom Stillman with the Blues. They know this community and they're invested in the community. I will do anything that they ask me to do, and won't say no. Believe me, I will do anything I can to help out any of their initiatives. But, I think I've done what I tried to do, which was shed a light on this project, which is very important to me. And if I see something else come up that has nothing to do with sports, I might get involved with that. But these people know what they're doing. They wouldn't get into a losing proposition. And it's something that they know is good for this town. And I can tell you, and I know some fans, I've had people tweet at me, well, it's just a bunch of rich people and they're going to use this to get rich. This is not a get rich scheme. They might have their second or third generation, maybe see a penny that comes out of this investment. The tickets for MLS are inexpensive, relatively speaking, to looking at other professional entities. And they're going to do this right. And I think the thing that's really cool, and Carolyn mentioned this today, is that they're going to get involved with minorities and they're going to get with the diversification of their franchise. It's a world sport. And I think that's wonderful. I think we need to be inclusive, and it's something that's very important. So I know I'm going off on a different tangent, but
no,
if they
okay.
ask me to if they asked me to do something with it, of course I would help them and drop anything I'm doing to help these people.
Well, you shouldn't underestimate the role that you played here. I think it was great. You were a great diplomat for this, and I love the passion that you brought to it. So this is a great day for St. Louis. Just briefly here on the Cardinals and Dakota Hudson last night. I mean, I heard you guys talking about this, you and Jimmy last night, just the change in Dakota Hudson in the past couple of weeks, because he's getting those pitches inside a little bit, and that's working for him. I guess you can't really take issue with Mike Schilt taking him out because he had 111 pitches last night, right?
Right, and I think it was the right move. I think it's a tough move because you're on the cusp of maybe having a kid have history. I mean, I'll go back to when Bud Smith was throwing his no-hitter, which is the last no-hitter the Cardinals have thrown. And I was doing the game on radio with Mike Shannon, and we were doing the game together and talking about pitch counts. And even back then, pitch counts weren't addressed as much as they are now. And Bud wound up throwing over 130 pitches,
oh, wow.
And it took him a while to get like back on track. And then when Johan Santana no-hit the Cardinals, I had a long conversation with Terry Collins, who was the manager of the Mets. And this is as it relates to the decision last night. He was coming off of serious arm issues. And I asked Terry Collins, I said, am I right? Did I see you have tears in your eyes during that game? He said, yes, I did. And it was almost like watching the real version for Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. You know, when he's on fumes, he's had this great career. Do you keep going with him? You want to like maybe have somebody get a hit so you can get him out and make sure he's still healthy. Well, that was the thing with Santana. And he was never the same after that. Now, I'm not saying that would have been the case with Dakota Hudson last night, but I think what Mike's thinking is that, look, his future is bright. It could be very long, and I've got to take care of him. Would it be a tremendous moment for him to have? Of course it would, but we need him also to win games in 4 days, and we need to keep him sharp. So I agreed with the decision. I wish I would have loved to have seen the non-error there by DeJong to go into the ninth with a no-hitter, but I did think it was the right decision made by Mike Schilt.
And did I see the comments correctly that Dakota Hudson didn't even know he was throwing a no-hitter?
I didn't see that.
I thought he had said when he got into the clubhouse, he was getting hugs, and he wasn't even sure why he was getting hugs and why people were so excited, which I thought that's focus.
Well,
you got
to
hand him
let me put it to you this way, Mark. If that's what he said, he's lying, okay? Let's just leave it at that.
All right.
Don't tell me that a guy doesn't know he's got a no-hitter. Believe me, he knows.
That's why I like your candor, Danny Mack, because I'm with you on that. But look, it was a great start to this series last night with the Brewers, and let's hope they can continue. Look, thanks for squeezing me in this afternoon. I appreciate it. And we're off and running on a new franchise here for downtown St. Louis and a lot of excitement. Thanks, Dan.
It's going to be great. Thanks, Mark.
It's Hall of Fame week on KMOX.
There's a drive way back in the left center. It may be Brock makes a sensational catch. Holy cow, unbelievable. Lou Brock, a backhanded shoestring catch in left center. A remarkable play.
Enjoy conversation throughout the week with Cardinals Hall of Famers on the Voice of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Yeah, Mike Shannon is coming up 3:20 this afternoon right here on KMOX. Also in the next hour, I saw this real interesting piece from Rolling Stone yesterday on where music is right now. And when I say where music is right now, oh, and I have something fun on that note coming up as well after the top of the hour, because something significant happened with the song that was number one. What was it, 20 weeks, Dave, or was it 19 weeks? We'll have to check that, but there's been a change at the top. But Tim Sommer is kind of my music guy. He covers music for Rock and Roll Globe. But Rolling Stone did a piece about how some artists out there are thinking about, and the model is, I don't know if this would be like a GoFundMe or something like this for musical acts, where you can invest your own money into the music that the artists that you love are making. And the thing that the article pointed out is that some of these artists, you might get, here's one figure from YouTube. You get 0.0009 cents for every spin on YouTube. Now, you get a million spins, and maybe that's going to add up a little bit. Haven't done the math on that, but it is interesting. The compensation, I guess, platform and model is changing in the music business as well. So we'll get into that in the next hour. I wanted to talk about what the president said in the last hour, because well, let me just start with this. I have not heard this yet. We've been talking about soccer. He had a news conference or at least a short media availability, and he doesn't believe this talk about the recession, but he's thinking about, and this is the headline I saw on CNN, cutting the payroll tax.
Well, you know, we've been talking about indexing for a long time, and many people like indexing, and it can be done very simply. It can be done directly by me. And so we've been looking at that. As you probably have heard, I can do it directly. So we're talking about indexing, and we're always looking at the capital gains tax, payroll tax. We're looking at, I would love to do something on capital gains. We're talking about that. That's a big deal, goes through Congress. Payroll tax is something that we think about, and a lot of people would like to see that, and that very much affects the working, the workers of our country, and we have a lot of workers. Right now, by the way, we have more people working today than we've ever had before in the history of our country. We have almost 160 million people working today.
You know, it's interesting. The Washington Post did a side-by-side comparison today with a chart of economic numbers comparing the Obama administration to the Trump administration. And I thought it was a relatively fair job. But the thing that I do know, because I mentioned it all the time, when there were just terrible economic numbers during the Obama administration, when we even dipped into negative growth for at least one quarter, and there were a couple where it was hovering barely above zero, I remember saying at the time, boy, this stuff is not getting covered. There was no talk of a recession when we were on the cusp of a recession. There's a lot of talk about a recession when we may not be on the cusp of a recession.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.